Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Thank you all for that. I don't know if y'all, I know y'all are not Gamecock fans, but maybe you've heard this 2001 Space Odyssey before. I started to put that on projection to kind of play when I come up here. I thought that might be a little dramatic, so I didn't do that. But I have it on there just in case. No, I'm just kidding. Last week, I'm just going to just hop right in. Last week I talked about trust. I talked about who you could trust, who you should trust, and definitely God. And the reason why we sometimes struggle to trust God is because we struggle to trust those around us, and we personify that onto God. You know, God will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always be there. The thing is, we struggle with God's timing. Last week we talked about Abraham, and it's just been a recurring theme in my life in trusting God and things that I feel like God has shared with me and gift to me and told me that this is going to be the way it's going to be. And when he does those things, I often act like Abraham. I want them now. You know, if God tells me that I'm going to have these things or be able to do these things or this is going to come to be, you know, I struggle with trusting in God's timing. And oftentimes when his timing's not the way I want it to be, I end up doing things my own way. And that always seems to make a mess of things. And so in trusting God, we have to just give it to him. And we talked in our youth class, and this we talked about Ananias and Sapphira. That was our lesson this morning. And it came around to trust. And it's like that theme is throughout the entire Bible, trusting in God for all things. And why we struggle to trust. And I think we in America today, even Hart County, Georgia, Cannon, you know, Bethany Baptist Church, we struggle to trust God because oftentimes we don't have to. And what I mean by that is you go to work every day, and for the most part, you know you're going to earn a paycheck. And you know that paycheck is going to help you pay your house payment and buy your groceries and pay your car payment, all your other responsibilities. You know, you don't have to trust God per se to make sure you're going to wake up in the morning and be able to go to work. A lot of times we put that into ourselves. So when we do find ourselves in a situation where we need to trust God, we don't know how to. We don't know what that looks like. And that scares us to death. Matter of fact, as soon as something goes wrong in our normal flow of life, the things that we have put on our shoulders to do, when those things have gone awry, and we have to place our faith and trust in God because we find ourselves in a dire situation, we oftentimes, instead of trusting God, we blame him for the situation we're in. We say, God, why have you put me in this situation? God, why have you put this on my back? Just like he told the disciples when they were trying to heal a blind man, it says, so God could be glorified. When he took the Israelites to the Red Sea and the Egyptians were out their back, he tells Moses to part the sea because you will see God glorified in the events. Every one of the Israelites at that time were like, why did you bring us out here so we can have graves out here? Why would you do this to us? And Moses had to tell them, you just wait and you just see the glory of God shine through this. And I think about how often if we just trust in God for those things, if we even in our greatest times and even in our worst times just put our faith and trust in him, man, we will see the glory of God come out of it. But it's scary. It's scary to trust God. I think about one of my all-time favorite movies. I've always been an Indiana Jones fan. I love Indiana Jones. Until the last one, they started bringing aliens into it. That was just kind of weird. But the Temple of Doom, the Last Crusade, Raiders of the Lost Ark, all those, man, I just love those. But in the Temple of Doom, the Last Crusade, the last one, I remember me and my dad going to see that movie. I remember us going, and maybe you don't remember this, but at the very end, you know, Indiana Jones has to take his dad's book that he had been writing in his entire life and use this instruction manual to get through all these entrapments to get to the Holy Grail. Does anybody even remember that? Yeah. So he goes, and there's one, the very last thing, he just sees this chasm, this cliff, this open space of nothing, and he drops some rocks, and he doesn't even hear them hit the ground. He knows that it's way far off, and it says, he's reading, it says, the leap of faith, the leap of faith, the leap of faith, and he's like, what does that even mean? And at that moment, you see him wiping his, wiping his brow, and he's scared to death, and he just, I'm not going to do it because I'd fall because we don't have an invisible plank here. But in the movie, he just closes his eyes and he just waits. He puts his faith in all of his dad's research. He knows that his dad wouldn't do this for anything. So he steps out and he lands on this plank. Now, I don't know why he chose to use the direction, because the plank was only this big. I was thinking, what if he would have hit the edge and just fell off, and they're like, man, I should have trusted. I did trust, but he should have said to the left. I mean, anyway, I just think about that. But in that moment, he put his entire trust in what his dad had told him. Now, if you are a bystander and you were looking at this, you would have probably called him a crazy man. But sometimes when you put your faith and trust into someone or into God, people are going to look at you and think you're crazy. So I want to look at some scripture tonight that kind of shows, not just last week I talked about trusting in God because of the fallacy of man. We can't always trust man to lead us. We have to put our faith and trust in God. And today I want to look at what we will look like, what it looks like to trust in God. So if you would please stand, I'm going to read some verses out of Genesis chapter 37. Another great figure in the book of Genesis, and is a man named Joseph. It says, Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, in the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought a bad report about them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was a son born to him in his old age, and he made a robe of many colors for him. When his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not bring themselves to speak peaceably to him. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. There we were, binding sheaves of grain in the field. Suddenly, my sheaf stood up, and your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down to my sheaf. Are you really going to reign over us? His brothers asked him. Are you really going to rule us? So they hated him even more because of this dream and what he said. Then he had another dream and told his brothers, look, he said, I had another dream, and this time the sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him. What kind of dream is that you have had? He said, are your mother and brothers and I going to come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Lord, we just thank you for this day, and thank you for loving us so much. And in this moment that we have together, Lord, help us to be more like you. Help us to strive to lean on you. Lord, help us to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Lord, help us to trust in you. Lord, even if it causes us to do some things the world doesn't find correct or right, Lord, help us to not worry about what the world says, but what you say. Lord, again, blessing this time we have together. Have your name be glorified amongst us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The first thing that I think about in this is that Joseph was 17 years old, and he was his father's favorite. He was already not liked by his brothers. He had 10 older brothers, and his dad really kind of took care of him more than the rest. And I think Joseph kind of knew this because he said he already knew his brothers really weren't very peaceably towards him, and yet he has this dream, and I can just imagine him having this dream, being like Elijah, just got to tell somebody, knows he probably needs to keep it to himself, knows that he really shouldn't say this out in public, really knows that he should just leave it be, Joseph has to say, hey, brothers, I just want to tell you. Now, we'll learn about Joseph later on. He knows how to discern these dreams that people have. That's later on. So we know maybe he has this gifting from God. He lets his brothers know that, hey, we're out in the fields, and I just want to let you know that the sheaf of mine is going to be greater than yours, and you'll bow down to me. Yeah. You know, so his brothers really loved hearing that from him. Nope. They didn't. They didn't like it at all. So they may have roughed him up a little bit. You know what I mean? I can just see maybe they got upset with him and didn't really want to hear this from him, and maybe put their hands on him a little bit. So the next night, he even tells his mom and dad, or his dad and all his brothers, I had another dream that the stars in the sky, even the sun and the moon, would bow down to me. So his dad knows that, hey, you're talking about not only your brothers, but me and your mom. Boy, you better watch your mouth. You know, that's what his daddy said. And the brothers, they were ready to do something. And it says Jacob just kept this in mind. He knew how God worked, but had many situations in his life already where him and God dealt with each other. So he knew that something was going on in the mind of Joseph. So the thing is, I want to think about tonight is, trusting can cause problems between you and others. I'm not talking about having a dream and saying, hey, just when we come to church, can you open the door for me? Because that's what God told me. That you needed to carry me to Sunday school because that's what God told me. That may cause problems in a whole new level. But I'm thinking, when God tells you or shows you how to do something that is contrary of what everybody else is doing, it may cause you some trouble. I think about when I was a teenager. I think about peer pressure. Everybody is doing this thing. The easy thing would be to just float right in there with them. Nobody will think you're crazy. Everybody will think you're just one of the guys or one of the girls or just one of the crowd. But everybody's going to look at you funny when you say, I don't want to be a part of that. They're going to look at you and say, why not? Why don't you want to go to this? Or why don't you want to do this? Or why don't I want you to be a part of this? And you say, well, you know what? I don't think it would be pleasing to God. Some of you know and remember and even now realize that that could almost cause you to be an outcast. People will look at you funny. My dad would say terms to me that I didn't really understand. He would say that they would call you a Bible thumper. Or they would call you a religious fanatic. You may endure some name calling or some exclusion because you chose not to be party to some of the things the world says is mainstream and the way to be. I remember being a part of that. I've told the youth, and maybe I've told you in here, there was a time at Fazoli's restaurant in Greenwood, South Carolina. I was in the 10th grade. We went there to study after school. But you know, they had that all-you-could-eat spaghetti, and that was up my alley. You know what I'm saying? So we went there. And I remember being a part of that. You know, we were all young and, you know, 16, 17 years old. And, you know, people thought they were grown. And so they started using some language they shouldn't be using because they had their own money. And, you know, we just thought we were big time. And I remember that day. I chose to be a cusser. I was just going to cuss. You know, and this sounds really nerdish just having me say this out loud, but I did. I made a conscious choice that I was going to be like everybody else and try to use foul language like they did. Man, I was going to just say some words. I was going to be grown. So I think this is funny. She's heard this story a couple times. Man, I let some words fly, and immediately my stomach started to hurt. And y'all think, man, that's so crazy. But it did. First of all, I thought, man, my dad knows everybody in this town. He hears his son drop the F-bomb. He's going to know it before I get home. And then I thought, man, my mom would be disappointed in me. And then I realized that God would not be pleased with me using that language because it's not even necessary. And when I stopped doing it, there were some people who would say, there would be references made, and then I wouldn't use those terms, and they'd say, what's going on? And I said, I don't think God is pleased with us talking that way. And man, you would have thought I had just smacked somebody in the face. Oh, so you think you're better than us now? No, but my mama said that only people that's not smart enough to use regular words, that's the people who use those words. So that was like Joseph kind of throwing some fire on the situation. Luckily, I was bigger than all of them. I didn't have to worry about getting smacked around, you know what I mean? But I did get shunned. So before long, when they would go for the Thursday afternoon Fazoli trips, I wouldn't be invited. You know, when we were going to meet up at a certain place and do a certain thing, I didn't get the memo. Did it hurt? It did. But just like Joseph, when you hear from God or when you know something's not right, you got to stand up. You got to trust that God knows what he is doing. Now, it doesn't make me any better of a person or better than somebody else, but I can say that through life, man, I've been able to refrain from that kind of language because I still think my mom would be so disappointed in me if she knew I was talking like that. And I knew that my dad, somehow, he would get me if he heard me talking like that. But most of all, I think, man, God has told me and taught me better than that. And I have to trust that this is making a difference in my life. You know, so I think about the first thing that when you make a stand and you trust God for something, that other people are not always going to be appreciative of it. When you hear, man, you know what? Angela, I know this is for everybody. Even Angela to some degree. But, you know, you think when you get out of high school that you don't have to worry about peer pressure anymore. Man, as grown-ups, it's even worse because you have families that are saying, hey, why don't we do this? You know, it's like, oh, so y'all are not going to be there Sunday? Or this is going to cut into this for, well, you know, we got something going on at church. Oh, I know, it doesn't matter. You know, you can just miss it. It's not a big deal. And when you say, no, I'd rather not. I'm going to go to church instead. Or I'm going to go to Bible study. Or you know what? I really don't think that's cool because God has shown me better than that. Even as grown-ups, you get kind of shunned. Maybe you don't get invited to some of the other stuff because you just are no fun, or you want to bring God into everything. You want to ruin things. And a lot of times, these we can't say it's our worldly friends. A lot of times, it's our church friends that do that. They want us to pick the world over God. And you have to trust in him even when it makes you feel uneasy. I'm sure Joseph, if he wasn't then, he was concerned when his brothers were stripping him naked and throwing him in a hole and then selling him off into slavery. He's probably thinking, man, God, you have to show me something. So I think fast forwarding in Joseph's life, we can look at a scripture that I have to find. It's in 41:46. It says that Joseph was 30 years old when he entered into the service of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Now, I said he was 17 years old when he had this dream that people were going to be bowing down to him. I don't know if you guys and ladies know what Joseph did from the time he was 17 to 30, but he spent a lot of that time in prison. Good job, Jackson. He paid attention this morning. But he spent a lot of that time being excommunicated, on the run, in slavery, in prison. And at 30 years old, even 2 years before that, he gets the cupbearer and the baker out of jail by telling them what their dreams meant. The baker or the cupbearer says, "I will remember you before the king." And I don't know if that was a long walk from prison to the king, but he forgot. You know, he was looking after himself, but 30 years old, Joseph begins to work for the king or Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, "You know what? The only thing that separates me and you is this ring on my finger. You will have all the power I have, but don't forget I'm Pharaoh. You know, I got the ring, so just know your role." But still, even at this point, Joseph, those dreams that he had, that God or that people were going to bow down to him, this still hasn't came into fruition 13 years later. So I think sometimes when we trust in God, it may send us down a crazy road. I mean, because Joseph never gave up this dream. Joseph never gave up hope that God was going to do great things in his life. He knew that somewhere, somehow, that God was going to work this out. And I think about me, and I think about you, and how many of you have gone through so many things in life, and you wonder, how in the world did I end up here? You know, I think about how we ended up at Bethany. I remember when I was fixing to graduate from Lander, got a job offer from Milliken. You know, or when my mom died in college, I started to quit. Started just to quit school and find another way. Or when me and Jennifer got married, we decided to come to an obscure place called Hartwell, Georgia, that we had never even heard of before in our life. So we picked up everything we knew, come up here on a Sunday afternoon, right? Looking for rental property, which is already hard to find in Hartwell, on a Sunday afternoon because realtors open on Sunday afternoon. But we found somebody. I don't think she really wanted us to be there because she was cleaning up, but she showed us a place and we got here. And I mean, just the crazy road to lead us to this place. I told you I went to another church down the road. My first church I went to in Hartwell. Thought everybody there was insane. Thought, what in the world is going on in this church? So we made a conscious choice to not even go to church for about 6 months. And this elderly lady from Walmart says, "You got to come to my church." And the only reason why I came is so she would leave me alone. And here I am today. You know what I mean? It makes me well up inside because I think, man, this is not how I pictured my life to go when I was, you know, a senior in college. I'm thinking I'm going to do this thing. And then 20 years later, I'm preaching in front of people in Hartwell, Georgia, in a church because a greeter at Walmart saw enough in me to say, "Hey, you need to be there." Not just once. Now Miss Linda knows her more than we do, knows how persistent she can be. Every single week for months and months and months, she would not let it rest because she knew that God needed me to be here. So I think trusting in God will send you down some crazy roads that you just have to put your faith and trust in him, even when it just don't seem right. You gotta trust in him. And then in the end, God will always prove to be right. In verses 43-26, it says, "When Joseph came home, they brought him the gift they had carried into the house, and they bowed down to the ground before him." Joseph was approximately, I would say, this is after the 7 years of famine and 3 years, so that's 10 more years. So he's about 40 years old when his brothers bowed down before him and his dad and his mom. So from 17 years old to the time he was 40, 23 years later, this dream that God give, this vision that God give Joseph comes to be. Now, I don't know what you have done, if you ever see the power and the miracles of God just seem to work out in front of you. But it says when he saw his brothers come in, even before this, he had to excuse himself, but he couldn't control his emotions. Like when I see things that God has done in my life, sometimes it's like, I can't even take it. I have to just step back for a minute and say, God, you have just shown out today. And at this moment, you can imagine what was going through Joseph's mind. I'm sure he didn't say, brothers, y'all remember when I was 17? No, he didn't do any of that. You know, I asked the kids this morning, what have you done? Some of them said, I'd have put them all in prison. You know, when they bowed down to me, I'd have shoved one of them in the head. You know what I mean? I might have had to do that to one of them, you know, just to prove a point. No, I'm just kidding. But Joseph doesn't do that. He builds them a house. He brings them in because he has shown, just chill out for a second, he has seen God work. It's taken a very long time, but in this moment, he wouldn't take anything for it. He knows that it took 23 years for this to happen, but because he trusted in God and just went with what God said to do, everything that God promised folded out before him. And I think about people who maybe you've been praying about something. Maybe you have a family member that hasn't come to Christ, or maybe you have a family member or husband, wife, child, parent, sibling or something that maybe has an addiction, and you've prayed for them day after day after day. And you say, God, why are you doing anything about this? I've been faithful to you. Why aren't you faithful to me? Just remember, God's always faithful. God's always working. You know, I knew a girl when I went to Emmanuel. Her dad had been working a job for 25 years. Been working this job, making lots and lots of money for this plant in North Carolina in a very, very specialized field. And they were downsizing, government cutbacks or whatever, and he got fired. And I don't know if you know, when you make a lot of money, you tend to spend a lot of money. And so they had a lot of debt that if they didn't find something pretty quick, they were going to be in trouble. And you know, a good thing about those classes I had in Emmanuel, we had prayer requests and stuff, and we were able to pray. So we had updates for weeks, and people would say, what about your dad? And, well, no, he hasn't found a job, and he hasn't found a job, he hasn't found a job. My mom's getting worried. They're getting worried. They don't know what to do. And then before the semester was over, they said, my dad has found a job with some other big company doing almost the same thing that he was doing for this other company. And that is unreal, because those positions just don't come up. And she said, I knew my dad, her dad said this. He said, I know this was from God. He said, I know it had to be this way, because if I would have got a job the next week or even the next month, I'd have thought it was because of my resume. I'd have thought it was because of all the great things I did. But because he brought me to where I was, I knew this job was from God. So sometimes he lets us experience some things so that he can be glorified for them. Look at the Red Sea. If they were able just to skate by, or the Egyptians didn't come after the Israelites, they would have thought, man, look at what Moses has done for us. But God did the miraculous, something that you could not deny was God, so he could get the glory for it all. So place your trust in him. If you're praying for something today, don't give up. Hopefully you won't have to wait 23 years. But know that God works on God's timing to ensure that God gets the glory for all that happens. If you would please stand. As we close tonight, think about trust. Think about trust that you've lost. Think about trust that you want to gain. Think about the things that you struggle with each and every day. But one thing needs to remain the same, is that our trust in God will always be there. And when you do those things, realize some people around you are not going to think the same way. They're not going to think it beneficial for you to trust in God, because it's going to cause you to act differently, do differently, be different. But that's exactly what God has called us to be. He's called us to be set apart. He's called us to live in the world, but not of the world. And we struggle with that. But trust in Him. Lord, I just thank You for this night that we've had to gather in Your house. Lord, as Elijah prayed earlier, Lord, I pray for those that are not here tonight. I pray that You do bless them wherever they are. Lord, I ask that those that are in this room try to do everything that You've called us to do, that You will keep us strong, help us not to lose faith, help us to withstand the temptation to be what the world wants us to be. Lord, just love on us. Help us to love others like You love us. Lord, help us to be people that trust in You, even when the road seems dark and we just don't know which way to go. Help us to be guided by Your hand. Lord, in this moment, if there's someone in here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, they don't know who to trust. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to follow. Lord, impress upon their heart to put their faith and trust in You. Lord, for us that are believers, Lord, just stir in our hearts a desire, a need to follow You wherever it is that You lead us. Lord, help us to know and realize that You have a plan, and we just need to continue to look to You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The altar is open for prayer.